Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at openhousecommunity.com.au.
I want to kick off our final human condition segment, for me at least, by reading a bit of one of the many letters, very kind letters and emails I've received over these last couple of weeks since I announced that tonight would be my last night on Open House. Sue writes, "Thank you for the last 3 years of Open House. I've enjoyed many a Sunday night sitting up in bed with a cup of tea, listening intently to some of the best interviews I've ever heard and some of the most interesting people who've ever lived. Apart from your insightful interviewing style," thank you, Sue, "I've really enjoyed the Lynn Worsley segment. I tell you, there are people literally around the world who've connected with Open House because of Lynn's marvellous part in it. Every Sunday night, which I can tell you is about the only gap she has in her busy and demanding schedule, she's faithfully come in and dispensed what's well known as her Worsley wisdom on Open House." So, sadly, for the last time, for me, Lynn Worsley, welcome back.
Thanks for having me, Lee.
It's great to see you.
For the last 3 years, for having me.
Yes, it's been our pleasure, and I'm sure, I know our audience feels the same. And for this final time, I've decided to do something a bit different, and I'm sure your many admirers will enjoy this immensely. We're going to get personal and delve into the, yes, stay there, delve into the human condition of Lynn Worsley. So let's start at the very beginning, which is a very good place to start if you know The Sound of Music. This might be a bit of a psychologist question, actually. Tell us about your childhood and how that shaped you and your life, Lynn.
My childhood, I'm the youngest of six children, and there's a big gap from the first to the last. It's about 15 years. And so my childhood was very much about staying on the edge, trying to listen into every single conversation I could hear and trying to be the centre of attention just in case they forgot me. And so that shaped a fair bit of my life from then on.
Tell us how you came to Christian faith.
My family are practicing Christians, and they lived and breathed the love of God with everyone they met. So it was natural for me to consider making a decision. It was never actually an assumed thing that you'd become a Christian.
No.
I was always waiting to see if you would make that decision. At the age of about seven, I very clearly felt God calling me. And I can remember that day now. And I was in my bedroom. I was 7 years old and I got on my knees and I prayed and asked God to come into my life.
So it wasn't through anybody else?
I'm sure it would have been. Yeah. But my clarity was that God was calling me and that I needed to make a decision and there was something that I needed to do and be, and that was with him.
It's very young.
Very young. And so I ran out and told my mum, and she was making apple pie at the time and gave me a big cuddle. And I think probably, you know, I recommitted my life again at about 16 or 17, and I'd had some pretty tumultuous teen years. But I knew that God had never, ever left me or forsaken me during those times.
How interesting. So you initially set out on a nursing career. What of all arenas, why did you choose that? And how and why did that lead to psychology?
I really considered nursing or childcare or preschool teaching is at the time. Hmm. I really considered nursing, and I think mainly I loved medicine. My dad was a vet. And so we always talked medicine and science and so on at home. And I loved people. I also worked in a nursing home from the age of 14 and 9 months.
Yeah,
so as a nurse aide. And I was often caught sitting on the bed talking to patients with the curtains drawn and my legs up so no one could see that I was in there. Otherwise, they'd have to get me to do more jobs. and it was much more interesting hearing patients' stories than doing the sort of some of the practical work. But nursing was natural for me, and I think I made a good nurse. It taught me a lot about myself. I actually started to realise that I wasn't the centre of attention. I had to look out for other people. And I learned from other people about compassion and resilience, and I think nursing got me very well organised.
I'm sure that's right. What would you say were the things that have been most, or people, that have been most influential in your life?
I think my family, particularly being the youngest of six children, my parents weren't just committed Christians. They were just very passionate, visionary people, and incredibly relational people. And there was always someone in our house at any time. So I've got brothers and sisters who I would say aren't related to me, but I at time thought they were my brothers and sisters. Right. They were extra people. Yeah. And we've always had family friends from all over the country who've just been movers and shakers in their Christian faith. So so there's many people from my family. In nursing, I think that has been very influential. I particularly enjoyed the nursing training and I think probably learnt more from nursing than anything else. As a youth worker, I did some training and that was a very big part of my life as well. My early experience of working in a drop-in centre at Carlingford was particularly at the beginning of my Christian life, from my teens, that is. And that really shaped my career. And I think we used what we called lifestyle evangelism at the time. We used to say, well, you have to live alongside others and showing God's love. And if everything is worth one person becoming Christian, well, that's fine. That's all it needs. You just need to live your life and not have to talk too much, but just live it with people.
Yes.
And that was very much a big part of my beginnings. And Neil, my husband, we've been a team in everything that we do. And in the youth work, we both were working on that drop-in centre. And that shaped us in the way that we have that vision for helping other people find God in their lives and knowing full well that they don't find themselves until they find God. So that's what we've been like, I suppose. And Neil, I think he's a team. He's a champion. He's on my team.
He's a wonderful bloke, and I'm so glad that he's in tonight for our little party off air. Who knows how much that will make it on air as the night continues. What would you say the things have been most helpful for your life, Lynn?
Education. It's been very helpful. Discipline, trying to be disciplined when I'm not necessarily a disciplined person. Working in areas that really stimulate me and challenge me to be a better person. So finding things that aren't boring is particularly helpful for me.
Yes.
Being a member of a church community has been really helpful for me, and having friends who I can be myself with. And I have friends very regularly that I have coffee with, I think there's a lot of wisdom going around them.
I'm sure there's a little bit of that in all of us. A two-pronged question of the same question. What have been the benefits for you? What have been the cost for you in following the path of clinical psychology?
It's cost me a lot of time studying and relearning things. It's taken me away from my family at times, and I've had times where I've felt really disconnected from other people because of the level of study that I've been doing. And being the youngest in the family, I tell you, I hate being left out. You know, so never have a party and not invite me, Lee, all right?
She's into everything, I can tell you that.
So that was a hard part. And, you know, my personality is to be the centre of everything, and to study and do something meant that I wasn't.
Okay,
and so that was hard, and it was good for me as well. The benefits have been that I've learnt heaps. I've learnt from my clients. They teach me a lot. And sometimes I wonder who should be paying who, because oftentimes at the end of a counselling session, I would sit there and think, oh, my goodness, what have I learned?
Wow. So it's very much a two-way thing.
Oh, very much so. I've also learned to be less generalising, you know, to stop sort of saying, oh, you know, this is what happens with everybody, and really to remember that everybody is very different and unique.
Yes.
And I think probably the benefit for me is I feel in myself I've become less judgmental. And more accepting of people, and that they go through things in different ways and react in different ways.
That's a good thing, as Jesus told us to do. Mm. On a good day in your job, when you walk out of the office and say, that's a day that hit my sweet spot, what has gone on in that day, would you say?
Well, there's not many days that I don't walk out like that.
Wow, what a job.
I've got a great job. And I can't recall a day in the past 2 years that I walked out of the office without a smile.
Fantastic.
Yeah. And I honestly say that. And knowing that that's been a good day is been like I come home and I just say, you know, it's been a great day to Neil. I say, look, this and this happened. But the reason for that is that at the Resilience Centre where I work, I have a group of amazing people who are incredibly passionate about being the hands and feet of God in the counselling room.
Mm.
And that comes with an overwhelming joy in the midst of a lot of challenging situations.
Yes.
So it may not mean that we're happy, but it may mean that we've got this joy inside that we know we're in the right place. So what makes me smile is that I know that there have been some shifts in how people are working through their crises, and it's great to be part of that shift. I also run a lot of training courses and workshops, either at the Resilience Centre or overseas or interstate. I'm going interstate tomorrow. And these workshops are wonderful. And to hear the stories of others applying the resilience work in their lives is an absolute delight. So my heart is often singing and I'm swimming in the joy of serving God.
That is a great answer. And you've got a lot of people envious for having that kind of job, I'm sure. I want to know how you handled the weight of it all, though, guiding people through what's very frequently really tough stuff in their life. There's a lot of responsibility that goes with this job.
There is a weight in the responsibility of often being the only person that knows many secrets. My job is a secret keeper. And sometimes there are stories that are disturbing. So how do I handle those? Well, professionally, you learn to detach from the emotion and to be more helpful with strategies. So you do a bit of a step back and look on rather than look in.
Yes, okay.
And when I feel the weight, I get up in the middle of the night and I'll pray a lot. I'll write in my journal about the effects on me. I won't write about the person, of course. But I also have a supervisor and a mentor, and they help me a lot. And I have to see them on a regular basis out of my professional association.
So I've wondered how you look after yourself so that it all doesn't get to you.
Okay. I have daily medication. My daily medication is God in the morning with Bible reading.
I thought I was going to get a surprising answer there, but that's a good answer. Yes.
And exercise. That's my two-pronged medication. I get up early and I pray and I read the Bible mostly. Sometimes I don't.
Yes. A little bit of that in it.
And then I do a triathlon. Every morning I run or walk the dog around the neighbourhood. That's one. I swim 50 to 100 laps in the backyard swimming pool. It's only a 9-metre swimming pool, so I do your maths. And then that's two. And then I ride my bike to work, and that's three. So that's a triathlon.
Yeah.
But I also dragon boat with a local and very fit crew once or twice a week.
I can't tell you how much she comes in some Sunday nights so buffed in the arms and shoulders.
And aching.
Yeah, that's right. And whinging. That's up from her dragon boating. Can I ask you about your life away from work, a bit of that? I want to know what are the, as you would put it, the donut moments in Lynn Worsley's life. First of all, just briefly, explain to us what the donut moment is and what's yours.
A donut moment is when you get three areas of strength or connections in your life and you put them together at the one time. And that helps you to be resilient. So for me, I love to do adventurous things and I like to push myself. So I have a motorbike license and a surfboard called Eric.
On you, Eric.
Yep. A donut moment would be riding my bike with my husband and sons and daughter.
Yeah.
And that'd be the strengths of skill, partner and family all at once. Another donut moment would be surfing with the locals and with my partner, skill, partner and community.
Okay. Two quick questions to finish off. Two people in your life, your mum and your hubby. Tell us about how important
my mum is aptly named the Oracle by our kids. She's got many words of wisdom, and I think there are many groups of people who await her teaching from visits with her. She's 93 and has been a strong and wise lady. She's not the run-of-the-mill mother and grandmother, as her faith is just so dominant in everything she does. She reads a lot, C.S. Lewis, George MacDonald, and many classic Christian writers, and we hear that. Yeah. Her influence is such a challenge, and if I could be like her, that would be wonderful. My husband, Neil, he's my rock. He's my best friend, and we're on each other's teams. Yes. He's an amazing visionary in education, and he has the absolute opposite personality and personal strengths to me.
That's
so we
interesting.
We complement each other very well. If anyone had put us together from eHarmony, they wouldn't have managed it. But I know that God brought us together, and we both love God, and we're both passionate about serving him in our work. So we've known each other a long time. We've been married a long time, and hopefully we'll be married a long time to come.
Great stuff. Every so often I come up with an idea. They're a bit rare that works, and this is one of them, the human condition. I've so thoroughly enjoyed, so thoroughly personally, spiritually benefited from your great sacrifice each Sunday night coming out here. I'll always be so thankful for you being part of this program.
And Lee, I have gained so much from being with you and listening to you as well. Thank you.
A huge thank you so much. The last time.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. To hear more from Open House, visit openhousecommunity.com.au.